It's Thursday, the day we read from your letters, beginning today with a correction.
Robert Andresini wrote from Southern California to correct our interview about Libya's reported offer to compensate the families of those killed in the Lockerbie airliner bombing. Our reporter Steve Inskeep stated that a few years ago, the Libyans turned over two suspects in the case for trial. They were tried in Europe. They were convicted. They're both now in prison. That was our error. Only one Libyan was convicted. The other was acquitted.
We got several outraged letters from listeners reacting to our piece on the new ad campaign from Cantor Fitzgerald, the bond brokerage firm that lost 658 employees on September 11th.
Peter Schwartz of Tuscaloosa, Alabama, was among them. "I was utterly amazed," he writes, "at the shameless exploitation of the World Trade Center deaths by the firm that employed those individuals. The fact that the Cantor Fitzgerald firm would use this to advertise and generate business is a slap to humanity. Those individuals were sons, daughters, and parents before they were employees. America, how much further can we sink in the name of economic prosperity?"
Katie Davis's story of Jesse Jean's journey from a Washington, D.C. street corner to a boarding school in Connecticut inspired Laura Brendan of Columbus, Ohio, to write, "Thank you for not telling the easy story with the easy moral. Thank you for showing us how difficult Jesse seems to find the decisions that must come so hard to a child. Thank you for not speaking for Jesse, but for showing us the circumstances as you've come to see them and for giving us Jesse's words. There is a difference between making decisions for people and providing the environment in which they can make their own decisions."
Jesse Jean's story also struck a chord with B.B. Minter in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. She writes, "I too had an at-risk student who was given a similar opportunity. She made choices very different from those that Jesse has made thus far. The growth I heard in the story gave me hope that he will stay on the right track."
Mary Nettleton heard our interview with Matt Sagasser, who was the sole member of his graduating class at Dayville High School in Dayville, Oregon. Turns out there's a similar story in the class of 2002 in Lake City High School in Lake City, Colorado. Brian William Williamson graduated this morning, Ms. Nettleton tells us, cheered on by the town band and a large contingent of our community, which boasts 375 permanent residents. Our nearest stoplight is in Gunnison, 55 miles away. In 2000, we had one graduate, five in 2001, and one this year. The last graduating class of one before 2000 was in the late 1960s. The title of the commencement address today was "The Power of One."
Finally, from Glenn Reedus in Rochester Hills, Michigan, about our remembrance of the woman who created Super Sleuth, Nancy Drew. "Thanks so much for sharing part of the Millie Benson story with the world. I had the honor and privilege of working alongside Millie during the mid-80s when she was still a spry mid-octogenarian at the Blade in Toledo, Ohio. It would take a series of stories to convey to listeners how truly incredible and insightful Millie was. And since that's not possible, it's good that the world got at least a glimpse of her."
You can send your insightful comments and criticisms to us via email to this address, atc@npr.org. Please tell us your name, how to pronounce it, and where you live. Pronunciations are helpful there as well.